Now, as the Spirit moves today, I just want to thank God that for a person who's here today, Pastor Deborah and also Pastor Cornelio Perez. And they are no strangers to this church, and I believe they are no strangers to even Pastor Chris and the team here, and has spoken there. I pray that I just would like to invite him. The Spirit of God will just lead him on. That's all. Amen. Come. Sister Deborah.
I'm going to worship God with scripture, and then I'm going to pray a prayer of impartation that you, my brothers and sisters, will memorize the word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is the book of Revelation, chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon a throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to loose the seals thereof. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Then saith one of the elders unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the 24 elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to loose the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. And the number of them was 10,000 and 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lives forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord, Revelation chapter 5. Would you please lift up your hands? Heavenly Father God, we receive the spirit of the book of Revelation chapter 5. We receive the unveiling of the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that by his blood we have been redeemed out of every nation in the world, O God. And we lift up our praise unto you. We join our praise, O God, with the saints in glory. And we give honor and we give glory and we give praise to the Lamb that was slain, by whose blood we have been purchased. We give glory, O God. We thank you for this chapter. We thank you that you look upon your people and you say, you are king and you will reign in the earth. We receive the spirit of this chapter. And Father God, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray, O God, that you would take your finger, O Lord, the same finger of God that wrote the Ten Commandments on the tablets of stone. And you will write the word upon every heart. You will write the word upon every mind that we may know your ways, that we may live according to your commandments, your statutes and your precepts, O God. Write the word upon our hearts. Make us living epistles, read of all men. Father, I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice will love the word of God. They will meditate upon the word day and night. Oh, Lord God, that you may prosper them and give them good success, as you told your servant Joshua. Oh, Father God, write the word upon our hearts. I declare prophetically over this assembly, your memory is blessed. Your memory is blessed. Your memory is blessed. In the name of Jesus, receive, receive, receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Chris.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, is it working? Good. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. As I was praying and we were worshiping the Lord a few seconds ago, I don't know why I'm using that. As we were worshiping the Lord and we were praying, I felt a strong presence of God during the worship. And as I got on my face, I got a word from the Lord for you. And the Lord says, I have heard your cry. The Lord has heard your prayers. And he's here. He's here to touch you according to the desires of your heart. Stand up to your feet right now. Let's just go ahead and lift up our hands right now before the Lord. We don't come to church. We don't come to see, hear a man. We come into the presence of God. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're here. We're here for God. We're here for God alone. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, God, we stand before you right now and we declare that your word is true. And your word says that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in their midst. We welcome you now. Say amen.
Amen.
We open up our hearts, Lord. We open up our souls. We open up our minds. We open up our lives. We open up our bodies. We open up this service to you, Lord. And we say, have your way. Hallelujah. Right now, in the name of Jesus, fill us with your glory. Now, go ahead and start praying in the Spirit. Just lift up your voice. Start praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Start praying in the Spirit right now, in the name of Jesus. The heavens are open. The glory of God is coming. And the Lord is intermeddling with your heart, with your soul, with your mind. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we command every principality, every power, all might, all dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come, that you are under the feet of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. We command you now, all interference, all obstacle, pride, arrogance, conceit, ego, stop now in Jesus' name. Sickness, disease, infirmity, pain, affliction, stop now in Jesus' name. We declare that this place, from the ceiling down to the floor, from wall to wall, from front to back, every heart, every soul, every mind, everybody is sanctified. Hallelujah. Unto the Lord of glory.
Amen.
And right now we declare, Lord, that it is you that sits at the right hand of God on high. You have been given to be the head over all things to the church, which is your body. The fullness of him that fills all in all. The Lord would say to you, take your place in Christ. For you were raised together with him and made to sit in heavenly places. You have not been called to an earthly existence. You have been called into a spiritual life.
Amen.
Your life is not to be at the level of the natural, but it is supposed to be far above the natural.
Amen.
You have been called into a life of supernatural existence.
Amen.
For you are a new creation.
Thank you.
Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And all things are of God, which hath reconciled us unto himself, not imputing our sins against us. And the Lord says to you, if you live in the Spirit, walk also in the Spirit.
Amen.
For if you live in the Spirit, you are not under the law. And the Lord says that he has heard your prayers. It is as good as having your answer. Psalm 37 and verse 4 says this. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will grant you the desires of your heart. God deals with you on the basis of your heart. We sometimes look at ourselves on the basis of our external performance, our external condition, our external situation or circumstance. But God deals with you on the basis of your heart. And God knows your heart. Right now, in the name of Jesus, all guilt, all condemnation, gone. Gone. Now. In Jesus' name. And I declare that you have been made accepted in the Beloved. You are in Christ Jesus, therefore, accepted before God. And the Lord says to you right now, come boldly into my presence. You have nothing to fear. For I have not given you the spirit of fear, but I've given you the spirit of love and of power. I've given you the spirit of a sound mind. Just lift up your hands right now. Thank you, Lord. There is a spirit of condemnation, the accuser of the brethren. Whenever you feel guilt or condemnation, surely the accuser of the brethren is afoot. But the word of the Lord says that there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Say this with me, in the name of Jesus, I declare that condemnation is not part of the equation of my life. condemnation, lie, deception, in the name of Jesus, I command you, be gone. 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 Out of my life. I close the door. And I declare that I am accepted in the Beloved. So it is written, so let it be. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a hand clap. Amen. There is something about the... you may take your seats. Thank you so much for standing. There is something that is going about in the body of Christ, and that is the traditions of man, doctrines of men, doctrines of devils in the last days. And what these doctrines do is that they will rob you of your confidence in Him. And they start on what appears to be a legitimate premise, but they're lies. They are deception. When you are in the Spirit, you are not under the law. That doesn't mean that the law does not apply. It just means that you're not under it. Any time that you hear anything in your ear that disqualifies you from being who God says that you are, that word is not from God. God is not diligently working to disqualify you. Everything that God is doing in our lives is to qualify us for greater blessings. Amen. The world tests you to disqualify you. If you don't pass the test, you don't move on. If you don't cut the grade, you don't make it. That's not God. That's of the world. The Lord says, do not be conformed to the fashion plate of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. The renewing of the mind in this regards is this. The Lord allows things to happen in our lives. He doesn't bring them. He allows them because He is very much in accordance with His own laws and His own principles. He will not violate them, not even for selfish reasons. So much so that He would even allow His own Son to die on the cross. Because there was a requirement that had to be met. He is not a corrupt judge that will bend the laws in His favor just because it suits Him. No, He is a just God. And even if it cost the life of His Son to pay the price, His just character will allow it. But the word of the Lord tells us in the book of Romans that if He spared not His own Son, how much more will He not, with or in His Son, give us all things? Hallelujah. And so God is not trying to disqualify us. He's doing everything. He works everything, even things that do not seem to be conducive to God's purposes. Mistakes, bad decisions, errors that we make in our life. Somehow, the Lord is able to make all things work together for good. Amen. And it all hinges on this one thing: to them that love God. All God says is, love me. That's all. Love me with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your body, and your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hinge on this one thing. And so when we love God, then that covers the whole gamut of judicial requirements. And so God is not trying to disqualify you. He doesn't set something up and say, Pastor, you messed up here, you messed up there, you blew it here, you blew it there. I saw the whole thing, so you can't do this, you can't do that. No. The Lord says, I'm qualifying you. The Lord says, I'm slowly removing things out of your life so that you can come up higher. Say amen.
Amen.
So you can come up into my presence. Say amen.
Amen.
So you can enjoy the fullness of my glory. Say amen.
Amen.
So that you can be what I've called you to be in life. Amen. And so when the Lord says, I have heard your prayers, what the Lord is saying is that the answer is sure to come. In the book of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, the word of the Lord says this. This is the confidence that we have in Him. Our confidence is not in our diligent prayer. It's not in our knowledge of the word. Our confidence is not in the fact that we wake up every morning to pray at 4 a.m. Our confidence is not in the fact that we belong to a certain church or denomination. Our confidence is not that we have favor with the pastor or some man of God. Our confidence is not in the fact that we have been able to stop smoking or stop drinking. Or our confidence is not in the fact that we are even able to be kind to... No. Our confidence is in Him.
Hallelujah.
Our confidence is in who He is. Our confidence is in what He said. Our confidence is in what He did. Our confidence is in Him. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Once God hears you, it's as good as done. You see, God's hearing, He will not hear the prayer of the wicked. He will not hear the prayer of those that are not in covenant with Him. The book of Psalm chapter 50 verse 15 says, but unto the righteous, unto the wicked, He says, what have you to do to take my covenant in your mouth? He says, I remain quiet, and you thought that I was altogether like you. He ran around with adulterers, murderers, thieves, and I kept quiet. You thought I was like you, but I am not. He said, I will rebuke them when I come. But unto the righteous, He says this. Listen. Psalm 18 and verse 6 says this. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and He heard my voice. It's my cry, my voice entered into His ears in His temple. Hallelujah. When you cry out to God from the heart, He hears literally your voice. There's no angel transferring messages here and there. There's no. Directly. The moment you lift up your voice, He hears it. God has heard your cries. He's heard your voice. And that's as good as saying you have your desire. You see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
That's right.
If you want to know what a man is all about, listen to what he says. If you want to know what a woman is all about, listen to what they say. There's no great mystery. Get together within 30 seconds, you'll know what they're all about. Money, business, things. Is there anything wrong with that? No. Not at all. God sanctions all things. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. But when those things take priority over Him, then there's a problem. And the problem is not His. Amen. The problem is yours. It's ours. Amen. But let me tell you what the key is. Third John, third epistle of John, verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things." That means above all things. He doesn't wish this above. There's nothing higher on the list than this. He says, "I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health." But the qualifier is the soul, even as your soul prospers. And so as your soul delights itself in the Lord, according to Psalm 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on it doth he meditate both day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the river of living waters. He will bring forth fruit in due season. His leaf will not wither." And then it says this, "And everything that that man does will prosper."
That's right.
I had an incident not too long ago. We have an association, business person, and we have been praying for years for the business. This individual went from being a multimillionaire to struggling in the business. So for years we've been praying, Christian. No breakthrough. And one day, she breaks down before God. And she says, "God, I'm tired of this mess. I can't take the fear and the burden of thinking that, you know, some government representative is going to walk through the door and shut me down." Because there were issues that had to do with permits and licenses, that had to do with paying taxes or not paying taxes. So all these years she's been praying that the Lord would bless a business that is established on broken principles. No licenses, no permits, breaking this little principle here, this little principle there, this whole thing. And all these years, she never divulged this information to us. Finally, the Spirit brought to bear upon her soul that she was breaking principles. And as she released it, the breakthrough came.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If we break principle, listen. If we break principle, it will turn around and bite us. God cannot bless broken principle. Psalm 11:3 says, "If the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And so, We need to make sure that we are within the parameters of righteousness. If we're doing anything that is illegal, anything that is breaking principle in our actions, in our position, or in our... That's my wife. You know, well, one time I was ministering a message in Indonesia, and the interpreter got a phone call. He answered the phone, and he's talking on the phone. And I'm sitting here right in mid-stride of a statement, and he says, Makasih. And I'm thinking, you know. Anyway, that's my wife. She. And so we just need to make sure when we pray, when we're praying, God will hear our prayers. And I'll tell you this, God has heard your prayers. But if you keep praying for something repeatedly for years, months, and the breakthrough is not coming, you need to check and make sure that the foundation is right. The principle is right, and then it'll happen. God has heard your prayers, and He has answered them. Whatever your desire is coming. And He's not dealing... Many times we deal with God on external situations, external circumstances. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will grant you the desires of your heart. God deals with us on the basis of the heart. God goes to the heart of the matter. You see, for out of the heart flow all the issues of life. Amen? The book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 23 says, keep a close watch on your heart, for out of it flow all the issues of life. And so, once the heart is in order, everything that spews forth, everything that issues forth out of your heart will be in accordance with God's principles, God's word, and God's promises. The blessing cannot be denied. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You know, it says in the book of Luke, and this is what I want to share with you today. We have just come from, spent a month in New Zealand, a month in Australia. We spent a month in China. Every one of those nations, we saw a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God. It was absolutely powerful. They were all... wonderful in their own right. They were different, but they were all powerful. They were all wonderful. China was the most recent one, and it was so impressively wonderful that it's changed our paradigm. I thought that I was on fire for God. I thought that I was hungry for God. I thought that I was diligently pursuing God, because I read the word every day. I pray in unceasingly in the spirit at all times, even when people think it's a funny thing. When I walk through the store, shut up, and I jump into a cab, sometimes I look at that. People think it's a funny thing. I don't think it's funny. Hallelujah. Talking to God is a wonderful thing. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul say, pray without ceasing. And the Spirit is the only way that we can do this. And so all these years, I've thought that I've been really hungering for God until I got to China. Now my whole paradigm has changed. I'm going to tell you why. Because I saw a hunger in those people that I've seen nowhere else. The church is so massive, so huge, that we held no regular services. We only ministered to leaders. And the rooms were so packed that there was one particular place. It was a mud hut. And it had river river grass thatch roof, and they were packed in there so tightly that when the Spirit of God came, they were being overwhelmed by the Spirit of God, and they couldn't even fall over. They were slain standing up, just like, because it was so tight. And when it came to lay on hands, normally I am the one that lay hands on people. But there, it was the other way around. There, as soon as you step into them, they start grabbing you. And they start pulling you in every direction. Literally, I felt like my arms were going to be pulled out of their sockets. That's because they're pulling, they're hungry for God. There's such a and such a passion and such a hunger, and they're sitting in these and they're standing in these hot, sweaty circumstances, and they're doing this for hours. We were ministering for hours, 4, 5, 6 hours a day, and they couldn't get enough when we were all wrung out and having to go get rest. They still stayed in the church and were praying. It was an experience that challenged my perception of hunger. And if you think that this is an exaggeration, let me tell you what I experienced. They interrupted the message and they said, "You need to pray for the people." And I said, "This is one of my best sermons. I can't stop the message right now." They said, "You need to pray for the people right now." I stepped out and they were standing. And as soon as the power of God came like a wave, like a wind on a wheat field. And it just blew over them. They began to fall over. Just the power of God came down in such a mighty and a powerful way. I'm in this, and I myself am being caught in this wave, this tsunami of God. I myself am falling down, trying to keep my footing, trying to, you know, but it's just, I'm swept in this whole thing. And then if that wasn't enough, you know, sometimes you might be able to get away with saying, "Oh, that's just emotion." Until we sat down for a meal later. There was about 6 or 7 of us sitting at a table. And I was talking to the leader of the home church. I think he has about 100,000 people under him. And he begins to tell me his story, how the Lord raised him back from the dead. And we're fascinated by this amazing story. Then I start talking to the person next to him. They were raised from the dead. Then I'm sitting next to an older lady here that's probably in her mid-70s. She was raised from the dead. And then I started talking to this guy over here, and he was raised from the dead. Amen. Give Jesus a hand clap right now. I was talking to a man in Australia. He says, "Well, that stuff works out there. This is the West. It doesn't work out here." Right. white flesh is impervious to the power of God. You know, it's different. No, it's not. The power of God is the power of God.
Amen.
And I begin to realize that I begin to realize that what we're looking at is it's a massive revival that God has released in the earth. And I'm going to tell you who's getting it. The people that are hungry.
Amen.
The people that are hungry. There's nothing that draws the presence of God like being hungry for His presence. There's people like Esau that couldn't care less. I'm privileged. I was born to the birthright. My father likes me. I'm entitled. But not Jacob.
That's right.
He was not born to it. He was not in line for the blessing. It wasn't his by right. But there was something about Jacob that was different. He had a passionate desire for God. You know, it says in the book of Hosea, chapter 12, it says that Jacob wrestled even in his mother's womb. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. There was something different about Jacob that singled him out. Maybe he was not his father's favorite. Maybe he didn't have muscles like I do. But his heart, in his heart, he absolutely, even in his mother's womb, he was already contending for the blessing. I want you to know that you're not here by chance or you're not here by coincidence. You it's not happenstance. No. There's something that is inside of you that was in you even when you were in your mother's womb that began to contend and to cry out for God. No wonder the psalmist says, even when I was in my mother's womb, you knew me. When my internal organs were being formed and fashioned, before there were any substance there, you knew me.
Hallelujah.
And I want you to know that the day that you said yes to Jesus was only the beginning of a phase, of a season, of a time in God when God was going to invade earth. When God was going to overcome human flesh and human will. When God was going to overcome every obstacle that the flesh can throw at you.
Amen.
And your heart says, God Almighty, I hear your voice. Come into my heart. Change my life. Transform. Make me a new man. Hallelujah. But it goes back before that. Book of Ephesians says that we were chosen before the foundation of the earth. There was something inside of you from the day that even before when you were just a figment in your mother and your father's imagination, there was something already in the heart and the mind of God. Hallelujah. That set you apart. And even when you were in your mother's womb, I want you to know that desire was there. And it was beginning to move. It was already beginning to take shape, to take form. And as you were formed physically, as you came into being, your eyes, your nose, your ears, your head, your arm, the color of your skin, the day that you were born, the nation that you were born in, none of it was by chance. It is all by divine design. And that's what brings down the presence of God. Esau despised his blessing. thought it was his privilege. It was his right. But Jacob knew that it wasn't. Jacob knew in his heart there was something in him that was beyond mind and imagination. It was beyond intellect. It was beyond knowledge. It was beyond understanding. It was a heart's desire. There are things in the heart of men that surpass intellect, knowledge, understanding. Paul says, oh, I pray, I wish that you would be able to comprehend or to experience the love of God which passes knowledge. There's things about the love of God that cannot be conveyed with words. They cannot be taught. They cannot be explained. There's an aspect of the love of God. The only way that we will be able to enter into it is by experience.
Hallelujah.
Is by having that face to face with God. When you come into this place, I'm going to tell you something. Don't ever come to a church service. Don't go to a conference. Don't go to a convention just to learn something. No. Stop it. When you go into a place, you start a worship service. Don't do it just to get the few songs out of the way and get on with it. No. Everything that you do, do it with this one purpose. And I tell you, you will never be dissatisfied. It's this right here. Are you ready for it? Right here. Do it with the intent that right now, as soon as I start singing this song, I'm going to touch God. I don't know who's going to preach and I don't know what the message is going to be about, but I know God is going to speak to me. I'm here, Lord, and I'm going to... I need to hear your voice. Let me tell you, the Lord said this to me one day. He said, if you have ever been disappointed in your religious experience, all you have is religion. He said, for I never disappoint. When we come to God, nobody ever comes to God and leaves disappointed. Because in His presence is fullness of joy. And at His right hand are blessings forevermore. If it's the presence of God that we're seeking for, and it's what we're looking for, and it's what we've set our heart in, and let me tell you something, the music becomes irrelevant. The song selection becomes irrelevant. The worship leader becomes irrelevant. The environment becomes irrelevant. The comfort level becomes irrelevant. And you find out that when you enter into that mud hut with a dirt floor, with chickens pecking all over the place and cats meowing and dogs barking and birds chirping and all that stuff, and you enter into that situation that is so you can barely see or anything, like it becomes irrelevant, because there's a passion in the heart of man that says, I'm going to go into this place and I'm going to get a hold of God. I've had prideful, arrogant hearts and souls like, who's he thinking he's thinking to me like that? And I've seen them leave that way. But I've seen people come and they say, God, I want this. Amen. I need this. And I see their lives transformed. I've seen hundreds, thousands of them. Because God draws nigh to the humble.
That's right.
But He is far from the proud and the arrogant.
Amen.
Think you're special. Think their money makes a difference. Because they run a company, they're different. They belong to a certain race or culture, they're different. Let's stop it. God is God.
Amen.
The The one thing that brings the presence of God down is hunger.
Yes.
You've seen it. We came, and I came out of that nation. I went there to minister. We ministered for 30 days. And I'm telling you, it was just an absolute... We hit 8 cities all over the great nation of China. Everywhere we went, the revival fires of God are pouring. Just amazing stuff. But the one thing that characterizes it is hunger. I came out of that place challenged. And I thought, Lord, as I was coming out, I said, Lord, all these years, I've thought that I was hungry. I thought that I really wanted you. I love your word. I love your presence. I love to worship. I love prayer meetings. I love all night prayer meetings. I love all this stuff. But what I saw in them, challenged my perception, my conception of hunger. And I said to the Lord, Lord, make me hungry. I want to be hungry for God. I don't need just normal little services. No. That's not it. I don't need good music. I don't care about the atmosphere. It's irrelevant. None of this matters. It's His presence. And I said, God, I want to be so hungry for You that if a bird chirps, and that's who You use to speak to me, I will hear Your voice. Say amen.
Amen.
If the wind blows through the leaves in a tree and You want to speak to me that way, do it, Lord. But I want to hear Your voice. No more teeny sermons. No more fancy ruffled evangelist with you know. No. It's God. We need God. I'm going to tell you this is what we need, God. The psalmist says, my flesh trembles in Your presence. My soul yearns for You.
Amen.
In a dry and a thirsty place. He challenged me. He changed me. And what He changed was not out here. It's inside.
Amen.
It's the inside of man. It's about the heart. There's a two-way thing in our relationship with God. And this is what I share with you. God loves us. And we love God. It's a two-way thing. Every city that we left, there was weeping. When they would take us to the train or to the bus or to the plane, wherever they said that, their eyes were full of tears. They didn't want us to leave. And our hearts were experiencing the same thing. The amazing thing was, is that they didn't know how to speak English. We didn't know how to speak Mandarin. But you know what it was? It was love. I cannot explain to you what I experienced. But all I can say is that these people that I could not even exchange one word with, but there was something about a love that took place that changed our lives. And this is what the Lord spoke to me. And He said to me this. He says, if you have not loved, you have not ministered.
That's right. Amen.
to love is to minister. If there's no love interaction between you and somebody else, ministry has not taken place. If the love of God has not come into your life, into your heart, has not softened you, has not touched you, has not convinced you that He cares so much about you that He would die on the cross for you, if that love has not come into your heart today, then you have not interacted with God. Because God is love. And no matter how good the sermon is, no matter how eloquent the speaker may be, no matter how wonderful the subject matter, no matter how good the topic, no matter what, no. If love has not been transmitted, given and received, then ministry has not taken place. And that's what it's all about. If we come into this place and we sing a song and we just and that's it. No. When you lift up your voice, if you feel that passionate love for God that brings tears to your eyes, that renders you speechless, that causes you to fall on your face before God or stand there in absolute awe of His glory and of His presence. And you're so into this that all of a sudden everything else dims. The person beside you, behind you, before you, it doesn't matter whether people are singing in tune or out, but your heart is totally enraptured with the glory and the presence of God, and the love of God has cast out all fear.
Amen.
The property, the debt, the government, the wars, the rumors of wars, the earthquakes, what you're going to eat, where you're going to live, where you're going to sleep, what you're going to drive. All fear is gone. Because the love of God is right now absolutely overwhelming your entire existence. You've been to church. And that's what it's all about. We must get to the place where our only objective is His presence. That's it.
Amen.
Nothing else.
Right.
When this happens, I'm going to tell you, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. All of a sudden, company problems die. Money problems die. There are no problems in the presence of God.
Amen.
Only blessings.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that's what God wants for us. It's available to us. It's His presence. Fullness of joy. And at His right hand, blessed. Listen. When the presence of God comes, all of a sudden, what that brother said to you, or what that sister did, or what that person said, or what that church is doing, or what all that, all of a sudden, all those things become totally obsolete. It's over. Hallelujah. Jesus said it this way. He said, I am not alone. He says, He that sent me is still with me. for I always do the things that Jesus knew that people were going to abandon him. He knew he was going to be beaten. He knew he was going to be humiliated. He knew he was going to be crucified. He knew he was going to pour out his soul. He gave life and they gave him death. He brought joy and they gave him pain. He knew it, except for one thing. He knew that God was with him. And that's what it is for us. That hunger. Are we really hungry for him? Listen, I've seen this, and I'm sharing this with you from the heart because I find these things to be prevalent. We go to nations all over the world. They start leaving the church. No sooner is the church service over. They say, what did you hear what he said? Did you hear what he said? I didn't like that song. Did you see what she was wearing? Hey, what do you want to eat? Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, whoa. Where are we? But all the glow and the glory when the presence is there. I want you to know that the kingdom is in you.
Amen.
Some people go from one church to another church, from one meeting to another meeting. They're looking at a man. They're looking at the topic. They're looking at and all that stuff. They don't realize that the blessing is right in here. Jesus said in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, he said this, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." So when they say, "Lo here," or "Lo, he is there," he says, do not go. He says, for the kingdom of God is within you. It's in here. Don't look for the song leader to bring you into the presence. It's your heart that brings you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Don't look for the pastor to bring you into the, it's your heart that brings you into the presence.
Amen.
Don't look for the church to bring you into the presence. It's your heart that brings you into the presence.
Amen.
Don't look for anything that is of external consequence to bring you into the presence. It's the heart that brings man into the presence of God.
Amen.
That's where the key is, right there. It's in the heart.
Amen.
I've seen this time and time again. A group leaves here and they go to another church. Oh, this is the best church in town. And they're there for 6 months and then they're now it's over here and then it's over there and all over the place. Stop it. You're not looking for God, you're looking for man. You're not looking for God, you're looking for a situation. You're not looking for God, you're looking for something to tickle your ears. You're not looking for God, you're looking for intellectual fodder. But when we go into the presence of God, God never disappoints.
Amen.
Never.
Yes,
never.
Christ.
If you touch the presence of God, if you enter into his presence, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what your need is, spiritual, soulish, or physical. Bam, the power of God will hit you. It'll transform you. It will change your destiny. Attitude. Attitude. Hallelujah. Hunger. Desire. Passionate desire. Without that, you might as well join the country club. Go golfing on Sunday. It's better than sitting here. Amen? Stand up to your feet. Heavenly Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to invite you, Lord, change my heart. You're the only one that can touch man in his heart. You're the only one that can touch man in his soul. You're the only one that can touch man in his body with your power. Holy Spirit, right now we say to you, have your way. If we do not have a passionate hunger for you, to where we come and pray, when we come and worship, when we come to the service, where our total objective is to interact with you, then we need an adjustment. We need something to be removed and something to be put in place.